A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey y'all, part three coming up here on the Chase Summers Podcast, the Saturday, May 28th, 2022 edition here on the Chase Summers Podcast. We talked a lot of Auburn football to wrap up here on this Memorial Day weekend with Justin Hoke Hansen of Auburn Live. We talked about just where Auburn is, Brian Harsin's tenure thus far, differences between him and Gus, the quarterback battle. Why is that? Calzada is the favorite there, it looks like. How Auburn is approaching NIL, why there is reason for optimism with the schedule, why they need someone to break out wide, Derek Mason's departure, Harsin now having all of his Boise guys in there, all that and more with Justin on the final portion of today's edition of the Chase Thomas Podcast. Don't forget, folks, you can tweet at me at Chase_Thomas, like the Facebook page at facebook.com/ChaseThomasWriter, like and subscribe on YouTube, youtube.com, type in the Chase Thomas Podcast, you'll find us there, all kinds of great video clips and all that stuff. Let's see, what else? Oh, read me, sportsrenaissanceman.substack.com. New piece out this morning on Tennessee baseball and their big victory over LSU late in the evening last night. Sportsrenaissanceman.substack.com. Type your email and never miss any of my written content. But yeah, all right, Uncle Darren, let's go.
Chase Thomas Podcast. The Chase Thomas Podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
Hey y'all, welcome back to the Chase Thomas Podcast, taping this on a Friday afternoon with one of my favorite Auburn beat writers, Justin Hokanson, is here. Justin, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
What's up, Chase? How are you, man?
Not too bad. Is it weird just not being at the center of SEC drama for the first time in a while? It feels like the Brian Harsin stuff and him going around different cars to avoid media, that feels like forever ago. That is old news. It's all about Jimbo and Nick now.
Yeah, it does seem like a long time ago. I think by the time fall rolls around, it'll seem like a really long time ago until they, you know, they were to lose to Penn State or things start going bad, and then it'll come back up pretty quickly. But yeah, that was a wild month of February in Auburn. Really odd time. I think there's a lot of positive things that have happened since then in terms of the culture and things behind the scenes of him trying to connect with the players, and just there's been some good things, but that can only go so far. You got to win games in the fall. And so I think there's been some good strides made where he can make them until you win games, if that makes sense. So they're kind of in a holding pattern, I would say, in terms of how the fans are viewing the team and the season. I think now it's just name a starting quarterback, see if fans get behind him, and then go put a product on the field in year two and see what it looks like.
Well, we'll hold the quarterback discussion because I am curious about how that's going, because it's a four-guy battle. But when you look at it, you mentioned the fans. How much of it is the fans? How much of it is the boosters? How much is it the administration? Like, is it different things that Harsin's still having to kind of work through? Because I just – it's such a weird, complicated situation, and I think Auburn and the fan base and just the way it's operated the last couple of years kind of reminds me. I mean, I'm up here in Knoxville, and it can get crazy sometimes where there's a disconnect where the fans want one thing, the administration wants the other. It's hard to know who's running Tennessee sometimes. And thankfully that's not the case right now. It seems pretty clear, and we're in good shape across the board. But at Auburn, how does that work at the moment?
I mean, it's a similar deal. I mean, Auburn, you know, the booster involvement at Auburn has always been, I would say, an issue one way or the other. I mean, let's just say it's been an issue. And that's not changing anytime soon. Just because of the dynamics of it and who's kind of still in play. And so, it's not changing anytime soon. We'll see. I mean, Auburn's kind of going through, they have a brand new president taking the reins. They have Allen Green at AD, who we'll see if he's around after February. That's kind of up in the air. I think some of those same boosters probably wouldn't mind if he left as well. So it's a weird situation. And you know, that caused a lot of the strife in February. I mean, you had guys that, you know, Auburn's a deal where when that job is open, you have boosters that kind of jockey and everybody kind of wants their guy. I say everybody. There's a couple. And what happened was Brian Harsin wasn't wanted by any of them. They all got shut down. I mean, Kevin Steele was being pushed by some big boosters to take over the program. That got nixed when it got leaked, and the fans basically revolted, and there was a huge backlash against that. And it caused some issues to where the president at the time, Googe, had to basically say, all right, we're going to do a search. He had to kind of put a pause on the whole thing and take the reins back, and that's where Allen Green got a little bit more flexibility to go hire Brian Harsin. So Brian Harsin stepped into a situation where he already was not the choice by boosters. They were mad they didn't get their guy. So he stepped into a situation where you already was fighting an uphill battle. And then, you know.
Did he know that, though, going in? Did he know the boosters did not want him?
You know, I don't know. I do not know. I would have to think. I don't know to what depths. I would have to think I would have to think some people talked to him about, hey, here's kind of the dynamic. Here's sort of how this thing went down. You know, just here's how Auburn works. But I'm not sure he understood the depths of it until February. I think February he was like, whoa, this is crazy. But I'm not sure he fully understood what was going on behind the scenes before he ever arrived and what he stepped into and the way those boosters operate. I'm not sure. He knows now, unfortunately. And so it was a weird deal. And so that's what complicates the issue for Auburn going into the season is people keep asking me, well, what's a good, you know, is he on the hot seat? And one, and two, if he is, what's a good season? Is it 7 wins? Is it 8 wins? It's not that simple because of what happened in February. He could go win 8 games, but if there's still people that – if Allen Green somehow is on the way out in February, you have a new AD potentially, you have boosters that may or may not still be – they might still be against Brian Harsin as the head coach. 8 wins is only part of the equation. I mean, so it's a very complicated deal. It's not as simple as win 8 games – and that'll appease a bunch of people. There's a bunch of boosters that are mad that they didn't get their way. So it's going to be a weird fall. Even if he wins games, there's still going to be a lot of stuff going on trying to gauge sort of where things are at.
But if you're Brian, like how do you get in their good graces? How do you get in the boosters' good graces and show them that you may not have been their first choice, but like, hey, I'm doing my best and I can make this work. I just need you guys to believe in me. Like, what can he actually do behind the scenes, except winning games? Yeah,
that's tough for somebody like Brian Harsin. I mean, one win games. Two, appease them, play to them, placate to them. Show them a little bit of favoritism, and things like that. Right? That you know, these guys give millions of dollars. They're expecting to be able to call you and you answer.
Did Gus do that well?
Not great. I mean, Gus is similar. Gus and Brian are different, but they're both similar in the fact that they want to do things. Gus is sort of, he wants to do his things. He's a little paranoid, a little shut off. Brian is just, Brian Harsin is just extremely confident and stubborn. And he is not going to be pushed around, and he's not going to bow down to any wishes or anything that they, if those boosters think the program should be run a certain way, Harson's not the guy. He's just not the guy. So you have a battle of wills in a way. And that's what happened in February. You had these guys trying to create a situation to make it untenable, or maybe Brian Harson said, and Brian Harson said, I'm not going anywhere. You can buy me out. You can investigate me, whatever you want to do. I'm not stepping down. And so you had this battle of wills. And so that's the way Harson is. And so, you know, I would think the only way this thing works out is if Harson really, really turns it around and almost has to win games to the point where the boosters just go fine. Like, there will almost have to be like some reckoning at some point for them to work it out, or it's not going to work. That's, I feel like long term, it's hard to imagine it working, just because of the nature of their relationships right now. It just would take some winning from Harson and just a reckoning of both sides going, all right, like, let's just go win games, and they all cool down at some point. But it probably won't be this fall.
That's interesting. He kind of sounds like Dan Mullen in a little bit of ways.
Well, Dan Mullen's a Dan. I didn't cover Dan Mullen. Dan Mullen comes off in more of a childish way. Harson's just he's just simple. I mean, Harson just, it's black and white with him. Do it this way. This is how we're gonna win. If you don't, you're not gonna be here, or you know, we don't have much to talk about. It's just how he looks at things. It's not complicated to him. Do it or don't. This is how it's gonna be or not how it's gonna be. And so he's just that guy. So if you get on board with him, if you notice some of the players that love him, Derek Hall and some of those guys, they're similar in nature. Some of the guys that left the program are not, they don't vibe with that. And so it's kind of, you're all in or you're all out. He's a hard one to either you're all in with him or you're really not going to vibe with him. But that goes both ways. That was one of the issues Harson and some of the complaints in the program were that he wasn't maybe trying to connect as much as he could, maybe a little bit more empathy for some of these kids that come from, you know, inner city Mobile or any inner city Atlanta or whatever. And so I think that's one of the areas he's working hard on behind the scenes, and his staff is, hey, yes, it's our way or the highway. I mean, yes, it's going to be do it or don't be a part of the program, but how do we show a little bit more empathy to certain kids that aren't maybe getting it like others? You know what I mean? How do we sort of lean into those guys? We don't have to lean into Derek Hall. Dude's a hard worker. He gets it. But somebody else we might have to pay a little bit more attention to. We can't just say do it or don't. You're out, you're in. And so I think there's a lot of work behind the scenes being done in that regard.
Is that how Tank's wired? Is that why he's able to get Tank to not transfer this offseason?
Tank has a really good relationship with Carnell Williams. And so I think that really helped. I mean, Tank's a little bit different guy. I wouldn't say he's completely wired that way, but Tank really likes Auburn and has a good, trusting relationship with Carnell. And so I think they were able to tell him, like, look, come back for 1 year. You're going to go pro next year. You're not going to stay as a senior. Come back. You have an offensive line that's coming back. We don't know how much better they're going to be, but you do have a bunch of veterans. Come back. And look, we'll throw you the ball. We'll do all these things with you. But I think if Carnell Williams is not part of the picture, they probably don't hold on to him.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, when you look at this offense, because they've been through a lot of coordinators already on the offensive side of the ball since Harson's been there. But when you look at this offense and where they're headed going into this spring, I mean, you have a lot of different guys in the kitchen quarterback-wise. Who is there even a leader in the pack right now among the four?
No, I would say no.
So no one showed out really in spring ball?
Yeah, I mean, I think there was some good things that happened. I'm not sure there's a leader. There's definitely not a leader in the coach's eyes. There's maybe expectations. There's expectations from the fans. There's expectations probably from the coaches. If you got them in a room and just privately said, hey, who do you think? They probably have an opinion. But no, I mean, you have TJ Finley who comes back and who shows good leadership skills. He's a good teammate. He obviously was in the offense last year, so there's a little bit of experience there with him in the system. Robbie Ashford comes in, who's a really, really good athlete, but still has a ways to go in terms of just learning to play the position, but his athleticism is intriguing. And then you have Zach Calzada, who they, you know, that's a guy they targeted and went after hard and got him. And they think he's, they watched, you know, every single one of his throws last season. They think he's got the moxie. They think he's got the mental capabilities, the poise to be a good quarterback in what they want to do. They want a guy that's even keeled, and Bo Nix wasn't always that guy. That's why there was some frustrations, I think, last year with Harson and Nix. Is Bo was you know, he was a roller coaster. And as good as Bo did on some games, that's not what they want. That's not what Brian Harsin wants. He wants somebody that's reliable, and they feel like Zach Calzada could be that guy. He didn't throw during the spring coming off that injury. But every time we talked to Harsin, he would make it a point to say, hey, Zach can really spin it. You know, to kind of plug Zach, like, hey, don't not talk about him just because he's not practicing. I think he would be the favorite just because of the way they went after him. But he's got to go do it. And so I think he's got probably the best talent, arm talent, and he's probably got the best poise and I would say mental sort of place as a quarterback where you want to be mentally. He's probably the ideal guy, but he's got to go out there and show he can do it. And then I would think somebody like Ashford, no matter what happens, somebody like Ashford could get in the game as a dual threat guy, maybe some zone read stuff at times. But I think Zach Calzada, even though he didn't go through spring, I still think he's probably the favorite at this point.
Yeah, Ashford, he seems like he's getting a lot of Joey Gatewood comps pretty early on. And he's a Hoover kid, right?
Hoover kid, plays baseball, had a really good spring game. I handed it to him. He came out and he really did well. And so, I mean, he can sling it. He's just young, young, and we'll see what he's capable of. But he's such a good athlete that you got to figure you're going to get him in the game, figure out how to get him in tank in the game and do a zone read or a short yardage or something like that, some packages for him.
Is there anyone out wide who's going to pop, you think, this fall?
That's a huge question. I think it's the question on offense. I actually don't even think it's the quarterback. I think it's the receivers. I think whoever they get at quarterback kind of is what it's going to be. I mean, I'm, you know, Calzada's probably got the most upside, but receiver, you know, you've got Shedrick Jackson coming back, who's a reliable guy, good player, right? Good SEC receiver, but I wouldn't go any further than that. And then past that, you have a lot of unknowns. You have a number of guys leave the program. Kobe Hudson was your leading receiver. He's gone to Central Florida. You've got a guy like Xavion Capers come back who probably talent-wise, if you just looked at the roster, he'd be your guy that probably has the highest ceiling. He's probably 6'2", 6'3", rangy guy, but super inconsistent. You know, Demetrius Robertson's gone. And so then you got some young kind of – you got some young smaller guys like Tavarius Dawson, who's a fast, speedy guy, Javaris Johnson, Jay Fair. So you've got a number of guys that have ability, but they're all small. So there's only so many things those guys can do. Auburn doesn't have that 6'2 type receiver unless it's going to be Xavion Capers or a freshman coming in like Camden Brown maybe. And so that's where I think they're just lacking. They've got guys that they can get the ball to and maybe in some space, but where are the chunk plays going to come from? Where are the big plays going to come from? If you're going against the better corners in the league, where's the separation come in? And if you can't create separation, you need a big-bodied guy, and they don't necessarily have that. So the tight ends are going to be a big part of the offense. All the tight ends come back. Landon King is an interesting guy who's a tight end but is going to play slot receiver. He's really a big receiver. He's a guy that let's see how he develops. He could be kind of an X factor. But, yeah, the playmaking ability at receiver and Auburn's ability for chunk plays to get 20-plus yard plays is going to be the difference in what this offense does. They'll be okay running the football. It'll be pretty good. Not going to be great. Be pretty good. Tight ends are reliable. But if they don't find playmakers at receiver, then you're just going to clamp down on Tank and you're going to clamp down on the offense. And they're not going to do much against the better defenses unless they can take the top off.
That's interesting. Do you think it helps just to have all Boise guys now? This thing, it seems like there's a lot more continuity and there's not like a thrust of like, here's Derek Mason. He knows the SEC. Enjoy, Brian Harsin. Do you think there is going to be some benefit to the continuity now? It seems like this is the kind of staff that Harsin wants.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's closer. I mean, from what I can tell, I think it's closer. I mean, look, last year you had Boise guys. But you also had, you know, you had Derek Mason and had some other guys. You know, you elevate Jeff Schmetting, who's a Boise guy. You elevate him to D.C. You elevate Eric Keesaw to O.C. So in that regard, now your coordinators are both guys that you brought with you that you can trust. That'll help. And from what I can tell, you brought in Ike Hilliard at receivers. You brought in Jimmy Brumbaugh, who's an Auburn guy, played at Auburn, to coach D-line. And then you bring in Christian Robinson at linebackers. And so I think from what I can tell so far, I think those guys are buying in. and meshing with the staff well, in terms of what they want to do. You have somebody like Zach Etheridge who had some offers to go places and stayed. So I do think that the camaraderie on the coaching staff is in a better place. I do think it's in a better place. I think last year was just was tough, I think, for the Boise guys and the non-Boise guys trying to get used to Harsin, especially Mason and those guys. I think having the coordinators in place that really trust Harsin, that's big. I think that's big because it's going to go Harsin, coordinators, and it's going to get passed down. And so I think they're in a better situation to have continuity and trust among that coaching staff and then filter it down to the players. You've also got the leaders that come back, like John Samuel Shanker, Derek Hall, Colby Wooden. If those guys came back, that means they're cool with how Brian Harsin ran the program, and they're fine with it. They didn't leave. So now you have those guys coming back, and they can filter it down. So I think the program as a whole is in a much better place to adjust to however Harsin wants to run the program than they were last year. I think last year it was – I think behind the scenes it was probably a mess. I think it was probably more of a mess than we think in terms of people that like it, people that don't. Like, I think it was probably all over the place. I think they're in a much better place off the field this year.
Do you think it was ever blown at all, the relationship between Harsin and Mason?
Probably. I mean, I think in the end, Mason just, you know, he had some issues with some things that Harsin did or wanted to and wanted out. I mean, probably overblown. I think there's more of that goes on than we know, man. There's probably there's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes within a year, a lot of arguments and fights and that we never hear about, man. It's probably somewhat normal. It's just, okay, we'll move on. And to us, if we actually heard about it, we think it's front page news.
Yeah.
So probably overblown a little bit. It just turned into a difference of philosophies and a difference of kind of how they want to do things. And so Mason moved on. And
I,
you know,
took a good job, like that Oklahoma State DC job. I mean, Oklahoma State is DC country now. Like, Oklahoma State was like Zach Robinson, that run and gun era, it's thing of the past. We're playing ugly football, and we're going to go 10-2 every year, and you're not going to like it. We're going to make you eat your vegetables. It does seem like a good fit for him, and they just lost Jim Knowles to Ohio State, and he got a big bump. So it's actually a pretty good career move. So people were like, "Oh, Oklahoma State, why would you make that move?" It's like, I think that's actually pretty good. It's a pretty solid move.
Little pay cut, which which, you know, really confirms that there were issues at Auburn. There were some things that, I can't be here anymore. You know, and so it is what it is.
When you look at the schedule, how do you feel? I think the over-under for Auburn going in this year is what, six and a half, something like that? Does that feel about right when you look at the schedule?
If you're going to set an over-under, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would set it if I were trying to get people to bet on it. I think what's crazy is Auburn has a really hard schedule.
Yep.
I think ESPN said it was the toughest schedule. I mean, whatever. It is. It's very difficult because you throw Penn State in there. But I think there's some opportunities, too, because of the home schedule. Look, if you're Auburn, you're playing Alabama and Georgia this year. Those two teams are in a much better place than you are, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You play them on the road. So if you're going to lose those games, play them on the road and lose. Okay. The home schedule provides Auburn with an opportunity to surprise people. They start off with five straight home games. They play Mercer and San Jose State. Then they play Penn State. Then they play Missouri and LSU to start conference play.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a real shot. If they beat Penn State, they go into SEC play 3-0 with real momentum. They play Missouri. You get past Missouri, then it's LSU becomes a monster game.
Mm-hmm.
You get past LSU, you're 5-0. And now you've got all kinds of momentum, and you still have A&M that's going to come to your place. You have Arkansas that's going to come to your place. You have Western Kentucky. Well, there's 8 wins. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you can win at home. And then, of course, you have Ole Miss and Mississippi State on the road, who Auburn, you know, beat Ole Miss and was killing Mississippi State and then just collapsed. I would imagine going to those games, it'll be kind of toss up. So I'm just saying the schedule's hard, but the home schedule allows Auburn some opportunities for some upsets. Upset Arkansas, upset Texas A&M, LSU and Penn State. If they can play well at home, there's some opportunities there to get to. I mean, if you got eight home games, I guess it is.
Mm-hmm.
Win your home games and you can surpass that win total. So yeah, it's a hard schedule, but I think the home crowd and the home games give them a chance to surpass that. Maybe get the 7, maybe flirt with 8, depending on who they can then pull off the wins against.
We'll end on this. So how is NIL looking for Harsin in this group? Are they, where are they at with their NIL? Y'all do a great job over at On3 tracking that. And obviously up here in Knoxville, Tennessee's doing pretty well out the gate here. But how is Auburn handling it to this point?
I think their approach is a little different maybe than some others, it sounds like. They're not trying to make a big deal about it. They're using it. It's being used in the background. But I think until we sort of figure out what's allowed and what's not allowed, I don't think they're being as aggressive as they could be.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I would say they're still building it. You know, they built a collective NIL Auburn that recently got bought by some more influential people. So that it was a private company, and I think some more influential people at Auburn bought it, which is a good thing for Auburn. That's a good thing. And so I think let's see a year from now sort of what it looks like in terms of NIL and Auburn and how they're using it. But it's a factor, but they're not, the amount of money being poured into it is not the same as I think what's going on at A&M or Tennessee or some other places at the moment. Let's see what happens when maybe there's some more clarity on what you can do and not do, what, you know, just there's, I think there's some people, I don't know this is, but I think there's some people that have probably gotten out in front of their skis a little bit. And so I think from talking to people at Auburn, I think there's a little bit of a conservative approach to it. And the other thing is with Harsin, like let's say with football, you know, Harsin's the kind of guy that if you walk in, and I don't know how every coach, I'm just Harsin, if you walk in and one of the first things that you talk about is NIL, I'd be shocked if you're, I mean, that's just not, Harsin's going to, it's going to turn him off and he's going to, that's not him. If you want to come to Auburn and be a part of the program and all that, that's cool. And then come here and then we will provide you opportunities as well through NIL. But if he's not leading with NIL, he is not recruiting that way. He's not saying, hey, look, come to Auburn. Look, I know we got this NIL collective. We're going to hook you up. That is, he doesn't talk about that. That's a part of the equation down the road, but that's not something he leads with. And it's not something that if a player comes in, that's the first thing they ask about, they're probably not going to end up at Auburn unless it's just like literally one of the best players in the country. Right. And so that's going to be interesting right now going on too. I mean, some coaches might say, forget that. I'm going to take advantage of NIL. And if you want to come, I'll deal with it. If you come because of NIL, and it's just my job to acclimate you to the program and make sure you're good. Suit on the backside. So every coach is going to treat it differently, but that's kind of how Harsin's treating it. So you're not going to hear a ton right now, I think, about Auburn landing some big football kids because of NIL, because that's just, I don't think he wants, right now it's not the kid he wants in the program because he's worried about how's he going to vibe? Is he going to do what we ask him to do? Or if he's only coming for NIL, how do I acclimate him to the program? How do I make sure that he's everything we want him to be, accountable, disciplined, and all that stuff, if it's all about NIL? So I think Harsin's just sort of a hardliner right now when it comes to that. So just a
difficult. That's interesting. I just feel like those like it's one of those you got to get used to. Because, I mean, NFL coaches, hey, you know everyone in the building. They're there to pay to feed their family, to take care of their family. They're here to do a job. Like, it's some guys make more than others, and they do that every day. They manage egos and money, and I don't know. It can be done. So when coaches in college are, like, I understand it's a quick learning curve, and it makes things complicated, but when I've heard different coaches talk about that and kind of complain, I'm like, well, NFL coaches do this every single day, and it's nothing new that it can be done, essentially. It can be done and done really well. It just, you have to adjust a little bit. And I think we'll just see more young coaches. It's more of a young man's game now. And I think that's just part of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you hear coaches now. I couldn't imagine being a coach in college football right now. I mean, the demands on them time-wise are just crazy, especially now head coach, because he's going to be the one that's probably going to be more involved in NIL deals and stuff like that. But it's wild. So we'll see if they get through this year. We'll see what NIL looks like going into the next year. Do coaches kind of do strategies change, things like that?
Yeah,
because everybody's gobbling up the best players, and your strategy is, well, we want guys that are hard workers, and if you come talk about NIL. Okay, well, let's see how that goes for another year. And if you find yourself falling behind and saying, look, we have to, we have to placate a little bit. We got to play the game a little bit here. Mm-hmm. We'll see if the things, you know, change.
Yeah, I mean, the staffs are going to have to continue to rise. I think Napier has 65 people down there in Gainesville. Like, he was just like, I'm just all kinds of staff, whatever it means. But I mean, I think that's something that you might have to do as an administration now, because burnout is just going to be a thing. And if you don't jam pack this staff with people who can make the head coach's life easier, the burnout is just going to be insane. Like, you've got to expand, and people are going to see the number of coaches and people in the building for these football operations. But it's like, man, I don't know how they do it. Like, I genuinely do not know how they keep it together from 4:30 a.m. to 11:30 at night every night. Like, it's a crazy job. That's the one difference in the NFL. It's a lot more round the clock and a lot more stuff you have to deal with. Justin, what can the good folks check out from you and On3 and Auburn Live?
Yeah, auburnlive.com for any Auburn fans that might be watching it. But On3, especially On3 Sports, is doing a lot of awesome stuff, especially on the recruiting side, the database side. There's a lot of cool data that they're doing, and the way they're sort of structuring the football and basketball recruiting databases. So if you're a college fan, if you're a Tennessee fan, I can tell you, I guess you're a Tennessee podcast, so most of the people are Tennessee fans.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, I cover everything nationally, but Tennessee, okay. Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah. So just I would tell to Tennessee people that are watching you, pay attention to On3. From the Tennessee side, big things are happening there. They're going to have a monster Tennessee site.
Okay.
Pretty soon. So if you're a Tennessee fan, just wait till the fall. They're going to have a monster.
There you go.
On3, a lot of good things going on, especially from the recruiting side. They have a national news desk. It's pretty cool. Mm. It's kind of like a Yahoo type of deal. So really enjoy being back in it. I've been at Rivals. I've been at 24/7. What On3 is doing is really cool and different. It really goes back to the original days of Rivals when there was a lot of rather innovative things happening. So it's fun. It's cool.
I agree. And it's a great thing. I check it every day. The NIL, the transfer stuff. It's very good, very clean, very easy to use. And I need it because the transfer portal and everything else is a mess, and it's a lot to keep up with. And you need clean sites like that to keep up with it, because it's extremely difficult to cover college football in 2022. Justin, thank you so much for the time. I greatly appreciate it, and we'll have to check back in again soon.
All right. Thanks, man.
All right. That'll do it for the Saturday, May 28th, 2022 edition here on the Chase Thomas Podcast. Thank you again to Justin for coming on part three here to talk all things Auburn. Hope you guys enjoyed our conversation. It was great, and I learned a lot. Hope you did too. And if you did and you enjoyed it, make sure that you leave this show a 5-star rating and a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It helps other people find the show, and it helps this show continue to grow. Go ahead and check out all of our great podcasts across the Blue Wire Pod Network over at bluewirepods.com. Just an unbelievable collection of podcasts that you should check out today if you have not already done so. This will be the last pod until Monday, or I guess we'll tape it on Monday, but it'll be up on Tuesday after the holiday. The holiday weekend, and I got family in town, and just a lot going on. So Tennessee baseball, hopefully wrapping up an SEC tournament victory as the Tennessee Vols face off with either Kentucky or LSU later today. We'll see who that actually is. But I want to kind of take a little bit of a breather here with the holiday weekend and be ready to go and energized after Monday. So hope you guys enjoyed all these different pods, a lot of pods this week. So a lot of different episodes you can catch up on the next couple days before all new content coming out next week. Got some big time guests coming up. Really, really excited for the summer and what's happening here on the podcast. So very excited for everything moving forward here on the Chase Thomas Podcast on the Blue Wire Pod Network. So that is the end of my spiel. We'll talk to you all in a couple days. Uncle Derek, how'd it do?
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.